beast. Revelation 16:12. Then the sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river Euphrates, and its water was dried up, so that the way of the kings from the east might be prepared. I want to encourage you this morning. Some of you are smiling, but deep inside, you're filled with fear, anxiety, hurt, pain, anger, frustration, confusion, whatever it may be. That is proof that God exists and the devil is a liar. Amen? You see, I speak to the child of God this morning. I speak to those who have confessed their sins, repented of their sins, and have turned to Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of their sins. I'm talking to the children of the Most High God this morning. Amen? If that's you, if you're a child of the Most High God, raise your right hand up to heaven. Say, amen. Come on. Amen. You're a child of the Most High God. And I want you to be encouraged, greatly encouraged. Look, this is a funeral today. Some of you have come here to die. Amen. You're putting to death the things that brought that were you carried into this sanctuary. And God does not want you to hold on to anymore. I read this scripture, Revelation 16:12, because it speaks of the battle of Armageddon. And I'm going to promise you on the authority of the Word of God, by the time I'm done with this message, you are going to be so encouraged and on fire that the Holy Spirit, that He's going to be in you, He's going to lead you. And if that don't happen, then you know what? There's got to be some surrendering to the Lord. But let me just tell you, there's a great war coming, and we are in uncertain times. Just yesterday, Russia was almost toppled. There was almost a regime change in Russia yesterday. Did anybody know that? No. One of their mightiest generals was marched with 25,000 men up to Moscow. And he was on a 1,000-mile march, and 300 miles before he got into Moscow, they called it off. Could have been ended up in catastrophe, bloodshed in the streets of Russia. But there was an intervention. You see, the devil is pushing and pushing and pushing for war, for war, for blood, for blood, for blood, for regime change, to topple nations, to bring in a greater evil. But God is in control. God is in control of the wars in this earth and in the wars in your heart. God is the one who rules and He reigns supreme. But I'm going to tell you something. The Bible speaks about a great war that is coming, the Battle of Armageddon. Y'all have heard about it. The War of Ezekiel. It's another war that has yet to happen that's coming. And when we read this scripture, again, Revelation 16:12, it says, "Then the sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river Euphrates, and its water was dried up so that the way of the kings from the east might be prepared." This river has been from the ancient of times, the Euphrates River. It's the biggest, greatest, one of the greatest rivers in the world. It still exists to this day. But do you know that for the first time in human civilization, this river is drying up? Has anyone seen the videos? The TikTok videos that are owned by China, by the way? Has anyone seen the YouTube videos that the Euphrates River is drying up? People are baffled. Scientists are baffled that the Euphrates River is drying up, but Revelation 16:12, written almost 2,000 years ago, said it was going to happen and it would make a way for the kings from the east. The Euphrates River is drying up for the kings of the east. So the Euphrates River is drying up for the kings of the east to come to Jerusalem for war. Who are the kings of the east? Many of you have heard that it was China, Japan, the Far East. Some of you have heard that and understood that it was Iran, Iraq, other Middle Eastern nations. But I'm going to tell you, and this is my opinion, but I think after we see scripture, you will understand greatly where this opinion is coming from. And though this is end time prophecy, I believe that the kings of the East are no nation on earth. No nation on earth. The kings of the East, pay attention to this, because you, Christian, play a major part in this role. The kings of the East. The Euphrates River is drying up. Why? Because in the humanistic understanding of reading the Bible, the river has to dry up so that armies can march across the river to Jerusalem. You tell me, What river today can stop an army from advancing? No river. A river does not need to dry up for today's army to cross from land to land. You get what I'm saying? So basically, this scripture I'm reading, it's not a river that needs to dry up so that an army can make its way across a desert. It's symbolic. It's a sign to the church that Jesus and that war is coming very soon. A final war between good and evil. It's coming. And even now, before the angel pours out the bowl of God's wrath, the river is already drying up. So does that mean that we might be experiencing some type of judgment on the earth already? Quite possibly, yes. Because God has always poured out judgment in times past. Noah, the days of the flood, the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. The judgment of God has poured out occasionally on the earth. Even the book of Romans says that the God's wrath is being revealed upon the wicked. Even today as we speak, Romans chapter 1 speaks of this. But look, the way is being prepared. Understand, the Bible says that no eye has seen, no ear has heard what God has prepared for those who love Him. God is preparing a way for you right now. Look, you may not even know your left from your right, Christian, because you're so boggled down by trials and tribulations. You're so confused by the opinions of the world. But God is preparing a way for you. God is making an eternal home for you. Why? Because you're hanging on by faith and faith alone that Jesus is your Lord and Savior. Amen? God is making a way for you. Why? Not because you deserve it, but because He loves you. And because you choose His kingdom, because you choose His ways over your flesh, because you choose Him over you, He loves you. Even when we were sinners, Christ still loved us. But how much more the love of the Father for those who call upon the name of the Lord now? I want to encourage you. Look, Philippians 2, 9 through 11 says this. We're going to find out who the kings of the East are. It's not China. It's not Japan. It's not any nation on earth. But Scripture, I believe, will reveal to us who the kings of the East are. Philippians 2, 9 through 11 says this. Therefore, God also has highly exalted Him, Jesus, and given Him, Jesus, the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on the earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, I say. If that don't get you going, oh no. Come on, church. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is King. Amen. Amen. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, to the glory of God the Father. And so the first scripture we read, Revelation 16, 12, let's continue its reading in verse 13 through 16. It says here, John says, and I saw three unclean spirits like frogs coming out of the mouth of the dragon is Satan, and out of the mouth of the beast is the Antichrist, and out of the mouth of the false prophet, it's the false prophet. That's a symbolic evil trinity there. That's an evil trinity, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, but here you have the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet mocking the trinity of God, the Father, God, the Son, God, the Holy Spirit in the end times. You see this? Everything that God has set up on the earth, Satan is mocking to this very day. God made male and female, and today Satan is mocking that by saying you can be whatever you want to be. You see what I'm saying? Let's read this again. And I saw three unclean frogs, says John the apostle in this revelation that he saw, coming out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are spirits of demons, performing signs, which go out to the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Behold, I am coming as a thief, says Jesus. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And they gather them together to the place called in Hebrew Armageddon. There's a great war coming. All the nations led by the Antichrist are coming to Jerusalem, to this Valley of Megiddo, and they're going to fight Jerusalem, but they're not realizing that Jesus, this is going to usher in the second return of Jesus Christ. You see, the church has been saying for years, Jesus is coming back, Jesus is coming back. And I've even seen it. Somebody told me one day, yes, I know Jesus is coming back. They weren't a Christian. And they said, I know Jesus is coming back. You know, Jesus could be that little child right there. Like when he first came, he was a baby. He could be that baby right there. And that made me think of something. When the Antichrist arises, people are going to think that's Jesus. Because the Bible clearly says that he will claim to be the Messiah. So a lot of people are thinking that the way Jesus came the first time as a baby, he's going to come a second time as a baby. The Bible teaches that no, he is going to come as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. Look, let's read it. Revelation 19, 11 through 21. This is the second coming of Christ. At the Battle of Armageddon, the great war of God Almighty. John says, now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on him was called faithful and true, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no one knew except himself. And he was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Then I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the birds that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather together for the supper of the great God, that you may eat the flesh of kings, the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses, and those who sit on them, and the flesh of all people, free and slave, both small and great. And I saw the beast, the kings of the earth, and their armies gathered together to make war against him who sat on the horse and against his army. Then the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet who worked signs in his presence, by which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. And these two were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. And the rest were killed with the sword which proceeded from the mouth of him who sat on the horse. And all the birds were filled with their flesh. This is the outcome of the Battle of Armageddon, where Jesus will come with the armies of heaven, and a sword will come out of his mouth. And you know what? It's symbolic. You know what? It's not going to be an actual sword, but what Jesus says will be like a sword that will cut and will bring judgment and will bring the victory of God. So whatever Jesus says, nobody can make an excuse. You know, see, today, right now, you and I, we're all full of excuses at one time or another with God. Well, God, I can't do this because of this. God, I can't do that because of that. God, just let me deal with this. No, God, just let me. It's excuses. When the Lord Jesus Christ comes back, see, right now, it's all about faith. One day, we are called as Christians to cash our faith in. And when the clouds break open, and when Jesus comes with the armies of heaven, the church, the resurrected church of Jesus Christ, where was your faith? Are you a part of the great armies of heaven that is coming at the Battle of Armageddon with the Lord Jesus Christ? This war is coming. This war is, in fact, here now in the hearts, in the minds, in society, in our judicial system, in our medical field, in technology. The war is everywhere. You cannot escape it. Stand for Jesus, or you fall to Jesus. You have to choose today. What is your business about? Is it about the kingdom of God? What is your livelihood about? Is it about the kingdom of God? Do you wake up with joy in your heart? Do you wake up with peace in your heart? Do you wake up understanding that God wants his children to live in the victory of the cross? In the victory of the cross of Jesus. Amen. Jesus said on the cross, it is finished. Some of you have gone through hell. But you kept your eyes on the cross, and you know what that word means to you when Jesus said it is finished, because it was only the cross that got you through the fires of hell. It was only the cross of Jesus that got you through with what you went through over the past year and a half, 2 years, 6 months, 1 month, this past week. It was the cross of Jesus that still speaks today. It's the cross of Jesus that will see you through every trial and in every tribulation. It's the cross of Jesus. Amen. Amen. And because of the cross of Jesus, we children of God, Christians, though we are nobody, yet we are somebody in the eyes of God. Amen. And though we ought never to brag about our position as children of God, as Christians, we do need to reckon that because of children, as children of God, as Christians, we are co-heirs of Christ, not only in the world to come, but even now. But yet some of his children are living in defeat because they're deceived by the doctrine of devils. And it's time to pick yourself up. And it's time to trust in the Lord again. Amen. Amen. We walk by faith, not by sight. In Revelation 1, 5 through 6, it says, "And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness," hallelujah, "the firstborn from the dead and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood." Here you go. You ready? "And has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." Amen. So Christian, I'm talking to kings and queens today. I'm talking to kings and queens today, because you are of a royal priesthood. You are of a holy nation. You are separate from the things of this world. And it's time we ought to live by it. It's time we ought to believe in it. I always see this on social media, and I've heard it all the time. "Oh, I'm not perfect, just forgiven." And somebody said today earlier, oh gosh, I know I'm not perfect. I fail God daily, but I know he still loves me. Has it ever occurred to you, Christian, to stop failing God daily? "I know I fail God daily, but he still loves me." Stop failing God daily. Stop. As Christians, now look, this will set some of you free. As a Christian, you are the only human being on the face of the earth that has the ability to sin or not sin. Everybody else who is not a Christian has no choice but to sin, because they're dead in their sins. They're still bound by their sin. It was the cross of Jesus that set us free from our sin. And it's the cross of Jesus that adopted us as the children of God to become kings and queens and priests of God. What we just read. And we have the ability to choose not to sin. But if we do sin, there is forgiveness, there is grace, and there is healing, and there is mercy. The world will want you to stay in judgment of God. The world will want to condemn you over your failures. But the Lord sees so much deeper. He sees the end results of your life. He sees you when you have been perfected. And I think the children of God need to start looking at each other like that too. If you look at somebody through just their failures and not where, "I know you're a work in progress and God's not done with you yet," then you know what? That's when we start loving people. That's when we start being the Christians we're called to be. Amen. Amen. Romans 8, 16 through 17 says this: "The Spirit himself," that's capital S, "the Holy Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit," lowercase s, human, "that we are children of God." The Holy Spirit tells us, Christian, we are the children of God. Look, "and if children, then heirs, heirs of God," and look, "and joint heirs with Christ. If we indeed, we suffer with him, that we also may be glorified together." If you're going to suffer in this world, look, If you're going to suffer in this world, suffer for righteousness' sake. Amen. Don't suffer because, oh, I went and robbed a bank and now I'm sitting in prison. Woe to me. Oh, I was born into a family of poverty and it's just a generational curse and we're just living week to week. You know, we're always poor. I don't have no food to eat. Don't have clothes. Oh, woe to me. That's not suffering. That's not suffering. You know what I love about God? To every child born on the face of this earth, God wipes the slate clean. He gives every person an opportunity to come to the cross. Can't blame it on what your grandpa did, what your mama did. No, you need to be responsible for what God is doing in your life. Amen? I mean, look at your family. Look at your friends that you've known for 20, 30, 40, 50 years, however, whatever. And you see how it's a vicious cycle, the way they live, now their children live, and then their children live. And it's spiritual poverty you see. It's physical poverty you see. But the word says that if we are the children of God, we are heirs of Christ. What does that mean? It doesn't mean that we're going to be rich and successful and powerful. No, but we're going to be a people of joy, a people of peace, a people of holiness. A people of righteousness. Amen? Though the world may hate you, and the world may make fun of you because of your relationship with Jesus Christ, but yet when they get into trouble, they'll always come to you. Because why? Because the truth they know can set them free. And the truth is in you, Christian. We need to be beacons of light. We are a city that shines on the hill. We are not to be hidden underneath a blanket. We are not to be hidden underneath a table. We are to light the whole room. Let us light the world with the light of Christ within us. We are kings. We are queens of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are priests of God. Amen. Amen. Revelation 3, 21 through 22. Jesus says, to him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. Jesus sits on the throne of God. And the Lord says, if you overcome, you're going to sit on his throne with him. You know what? Only kings and queens sit on a throne. Honor the king. Live in this world under his royalty and his majesty. Holiness and righteousness. Avoiding the temptations of sin, of lust, of greed. Because look, every person that goes to hell deserves to be there. And every person that went to heaven, God loved you. Amen. And you responded to the call of God. Jesus says, to him who overcomes, meaning to those who make a decision. Read that again. Revelation 3:21. To him who overcomes. Look at that. To those who make a decision. To those who find victory. To those who walk in the holiness of God. To those who finish the race faithfully. To those who don't cheat. To those who don't steal. To those who don't lie. To those who don't bear false witness. They will overcome the devil and this world. You will sit on the throne of God. You will sit in royalty. And even now, the kingdom of God is in you. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Look at 1 Peter 2, 9 through 12. But you, says Peter, you, he says to the Christian, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Now let me just stop right there at verse 10. I want to read this to you. Do you not feel right this morning? Let's read that scripture again. But if you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Are you feeling good today, Christian? Are you feeling on fire for the Lord today, Christian? Or are you feeling out of sorts? Look, listen. When you are not proclaiming the praises of God, you've lost your way. It's time to get back to the way. It's time to get back to the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's time to allow the eternal truths from the most ancient of days to dwell greatly within you all over again. Amen? See, this is why it's good to come to church, because you're not going to really hear this out in the world. But when the Christians gather, the Holy Spirit and the angels of heaven, there are angels in this place. We don't worship them, but they're here in this place. The Holy Spirit is in this place. And sadly, some of us don't even realize that. But there's power in this place. Why? Because God is faithful to you. He is faithful to the gathering of the church. We must be about proclaiming His awesomeness. We must be about proclaiming His holiness. And you got to be careful in today's world, because not everybody who says, "Lord, Lord," know the Lord. You see, if you know the doctrines of the Bible, you'll know those who say, "Lord, Lord," and they know the Lord, from those who say, "Lord, Lord," and don't know the Lord. We are in deceiving times. Paul tells Timothy that in the latter days, they will introduce doctrines of demons. Where? In the church. There are preachers today preaching demonic things in the church. And I thank God the Holy Spirit has control of this place. And may He always. Amen. Whew. I'll tell you what. Let's read verse 10. Christian, you who once you were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. You got saved. You got filled with the Holy Spirit. You got the joy of the Lord. Like Pastor Eric says, "I've got the joy of the Lord down in my heart, down in my heart." Right? Amen. He says, "Beloved, I beg you." See, this is a weird language for Peter. Peter was not a man who was one to beg. Peter was probably the most prideful of all the disciples. But in his old age, he's speaking to us as a grandfather. He says, "I beg you, as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from the fleshly lust which war against the soul." As Christians, we know what is wrong for us. Stay away from it. "Having your conduct," look at that, "having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles," meaning unbelievers, "that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, when they observe, glorify God in the day of His visitation." They're going to talk bad about you, Christian. But because you kept the faith and lived righteously in an unrighteous time, when the day of the Lord comes, they're going to speak highly of you. And it's going to be a judgment on them. You know what does the Bible said? Love people, right? And just love them. Even don't return evil for evil, but return evil with love. And it will be as though you are heaping burning coals on their head. Have you read that scripture? Okay, now, I'm not saying to love them and saying, "You're going to get judged, sucker." No, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is you want to see people come to repentance as you too once came to repentance. This calls for a Christian who knows what the Word of God says. If you don't study the Word of God and you don't have a prayer life and you don't have faith to walk it and back it up, you're shortchanging the kingdom of God. Look, there is something about the East. There's something about the kings of the East. The kings of the East, the Bible says that the great river Euphrates is going to dry up to make a way for the kings of the East that has been prepared. Again, the river Euphrates, it doesn't need to be dried up so that way people can march across, because it has nothing to do with people. It's symbolic for the signs of the end times. When you see the river Euphrates drying up, you know that the Lord is coming. Look, Let's read on. There's something about the east. Ezekiel 43, 1 through 5. When Ezekiel, the prophet, saw God in his glory. Let's read this. He says, afterward, Ezekiel says, he brought me to the gate that faces toward the east. And behold, the glory of God of Israel came from the way of the east. His voice was like the sound of many waters, and the earth shone with his glory. It was like the appearance of the vision which I saw, like the vision which I saw, which I came to destroy the city. The visions were like the visions which I saw by the river Chebar and fell on my face. And the glory of the Lord came into the temple by the way of the gate which faces toward the east. And the Spirit lifted me up and brought me into the inner court, and behold, the glory of the Lord filled the temple. The east. The Lord came from the east. Matthew 2, 1 through 2. Look, when Jesus was born, it says, now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who has been born, king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. Matthew 24, 27 says this, for as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man. There's something about the east. There's something about the east. Again, the Euphrates River drying up is a sign of the soon return of Jesus. Nations do not need a river to dry to cross it. So this is a spiritual sign. Revelation, again, 1:6 says, we are kings. Revelation 19 says, we come with the great King of Kings to the Battle of Armageddon. That is who we are. We're kings. God is making a way for his church. God is making a way for his church. The Lord's getting ready to call up his church up into heaven for the wedding supper. In the twinkle of an eye, there'll be an untold number of Christians who will suddenly disappear from the face of the earth. The Bible says that it will happen in the twinkle of an eye. It will happen when everyone is saying peace and safety. And the Bible says that destruction will come upon the world very quickly. Just yesterday, we saw how Russia could have been toppled in a day. You know, this is God speaking, because communism fell overnight. Just like that, 1989, 1990, I can't remember the exact year, but overnight it fell. The Iron Curtain fell overnight. And again, this could have happened yesterday, where Vladimir Putin could have lost his power as the leader of Russia. As he found out that 25,000 men were marching to Moscow yesterday, he got on a plane and disappeared. He was terrified. He was terrified. What does this say? Because this is symbolic of how things could happen so quickly when men move. How much faster when God moves? How much faster when God moves? We are kings and queens. We are priests of God. We are called for such a time as this. And I want to encourage you, church, to be prepared for this great war. It's not coming. It's here now. See, so many theologians, and even myself, for many years, I've thought the kings of the East is China. You know, Japan adopted the rising sun, the flag, and the nation known as the rising sun back in the 5th century. I did the study on this. But you see, nations have always tried to adopt the things of God. And so why China would adopt the rising sun flag, and why? Because they knew that they were the first to see the sun rise. They knew that the rising of the sun began with Japan, which is the far eastern Asian nation. But you see, the rising sun is Jesus Christ. And the scripture says that he came from the east. Ezekiel saw him come from the east. The wise men who came to see Jesus as a baby said, we saw his star in the east. And even John says, the river Euphrates dried up to make a way for the kings of the East. If you want my opinion, Christians, you and I, we are the kings of the East. And we follow the King of Kings, Jesus Christ. Revelation 19 says that he will come and the armies of heaven will be behind him. And they will come to make war at Armageddon. And they will put down all nations that came against Christ. Look, Christian, make a decision about your king today. So many corporations, businesses, athletes are bowing down to wokeism, transgenderism, because they're afraid of a small number of Americans who believe in all of this nonsense and are bowing down to the pressure. You see, last night my wife and I saw a baseball documentary. Why? Because I love baseball. Played baseball all my life. And it was a documentary about three Cuban baseball guys who made their way to America, or trying to make their way to America to play professional baseball. And they have to meet so much trials and tribulations and loopholes, political loopholes, to just try to make a life to escape communist Cuba. But you see, baseball was bowing down, American Major League Baseball was bowing down to wokeism and transgenderism and the LGBTQ movement. And just here recently, the baseball commissioner put out a statement, which I read and I was glad to read. He said, "We would like to encourage all baseball teams, Major League Baseball teams, next year, next season, we would encourage you to recognize the June Pride Month, but basically you don't have to." Why? Because a great number of baseball players are protesting it and saying, "We're not putting up with this mess," and they're coming against it. And the church needs to take a lesson from the world. These baseball, a lot of it is made up of immigrants, men who play in baseball from other nations, and they know what it's like to live in harsh conditions, and they don't take these things for granted. When they come to America, they see that life is much better here. But the same way I have seen Christians in America become so lukewarm, they take the church for granted. They take everything for granted because they're used to it. They know that it's there when they need it. I wonder if your faith or my faith could endure in North Korea, could endure in India, could endure in Bangladesh. And some of you would say, "My lukewarm faith, no, it would not." So you're telling me that you are lukewarm and yet you're doing nothing about it? Doesn't your king deserve so much greater? You are kings of the East. You are about to meet the eternal King of Kings. What will you bring to lay at his feet? Worship that is meant to last forever. Stop looking at your failures. Stop looking at the defeats and the weaknesses of your life. And just start looking to Jesus. It began with Jesus, and it's going to end with Jesus. Amen? Amen. Amen. When we fail each other, just look to Jesus. Amen? Because there are no perfect people in the church. We have to learn from our mistakes to not do these things again. But we have to be a people that we're not going to make excuses up. We're going to get up off of our mat. Some of us are still laying in the mat. That's why Jesus said, "Do you want to be healed? He said, pick up your mat and walk. Get up out of bed and start walking the walk of faith. Amen. Amen. You don't need this. And you don't need that. All you need is faith in Jesus. Amen. When I looked in the mirror, I said, Lord, I've been trying. The Lord said, I never called you to try. I called you to trust. Well, I'm trusting in the Lord. Many times along my 16 years as a senior pastor here, I've stopped trusting in the Lord. I would stop focusing on the Lord. But every single time the Lord would bring me back and say, this is the way you should go. This is the way you should walk. And that is why I love Jesus so much. Because I've seen that though he knows me better than I've even known myself, he's still not left me. So I owe everything to Jesus. Everything to Jesus. And we're entering into a time where so many are going to abandon the faith. But don't let that discourage you. As a matter of fact, let that encourage you. To be more bold for Jesus in the public square. These baseball players, I don't know if they're Christians or not, but they said as a voice, we're not putting up with your sin. We're not doing it. And so you're going to see a lot of baseball teams next year not taking part in these festivities that other sports teams take part in. And you know who else said it, by the way? Hockey. Hockey said, don't even come here with that. What do you expect from guys that really know violence and brutality? You know? I mean, when the referees just let you fight to air out something, I mean, that is a man's sport, I think, right? But hockey is like, they're the only, besides baseball now, hockey was the only one that says, we ain't putting up with this mess. We're about sports. You know, there is so much going on out there that we are going to be about the game. Let the game do what the game originally was intended to do. And that is to make good memories. I still go to baseball games. And I prayed the Lord one day, maybe my son could take my grandson and I, we can go to a game one day. Our first baseball game with him. And I remember my first baseball game with my grandfather in the Astrodome. And I still remember that. And those are good memories, you know, going to the beach, going hiking, going doing things. There's nothing wrong with those things. But let Jesus be in the middle of all of that stuff. Amen? Let Jesus be in the middle of your marriage. Let Jesus be in the middle of how you raise your kids. Or let Jesus be in the middle of your life as someone who is single. So I've had some tell me, well, I wish I could have a wife. I wish I could have a wife. And I'm like, I hear you. But maybe that's just not God's plan. I don't know. Here's what I do know. If the Lord wants you to have it, he'll bring it to you. But be content with what you have and where you are. Always looking for promotion that comes from the Lord, but be content because you're a king. You're a queen. There's royalty running through your blood. Amen? And God has all of this figured out. The devil is good, just throwing a little confusion into your life. The devil is good at that. We must buckle down. We must get embedded in the truth of the Word of God. We must wake up in the morning and before our feet hit the ground, not reach for our phone, but we must seek His holiness, His righteousness, and say, Lord, remind me of who you are so that I can know who I am today. Amen? Say, Lord, let me not hit the ground until my faith is grounded. Amen? Let your life be about Jesus in your social media, in everything you do, and watch the devils come against you. It'll be fun. You'll be like, oh my goodness, I knew this was going to happen. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm the child of the Most High God. Woo! The devils will fear me because Jesus is in me. Amen? And it's time the church start loving each other. Start being thankful towards one another. Stop taking the church for granted. One day in America, I tell you, this Bible will be banned. This church will be closed down. We will no longer be able to assemble in a building like this. This will come in America. And you're going to look back and think, oh man, remember when we could go to church? You see, you don't realize what you've had until you've missed it, until you've lost it. And so many of us have taken the church of Jesus Christ for granted. You know what the Bible says? It says, men, love your wives the way Christ loves his church. You know what that means? It does not mean to me as a husband, I need to love my wife the way Jesus loves the church. No, not just that, but also it means I need to love the church too. Because Jesus loves the church. Jesus died for the church. My wife, a lot of times we could have just got up and left. So you know what? Let's go to the hill country and retire up there. But that's not what the Lord wanted. And it's still not what he wants. And so you become to say, okay, Lord, we're going to love what you love. We're going to work with what you want us to work with. Why? Because it's about his will. And then it becomes more than just about coming to church on a Wednesday night or a Friday or a Sunday. It's about you get to come to church. You get to be involved in the lives of people. You see, when you're just about your own life, you have no life. Let me say it again. When you're just about your life, you have no life. But when your life is about others, now you're getting it. Now you're getting it. You come to church because it's about others. It's about building others up. And that's why a lot of churches don't grow. Not just small churches, but even big churches. You can have churches with 1,000 people. And if you were to bring it down to true people of God in that place, it could dwindle down to about 30 or 40. That's it. Churches will begin to grow when they realize who they are in Christ and what the will of God is teaching us in these end times. You are kings of the East. You are kings of the East. It's time to claim your throne. Amen. Give God praise.